My name is Richard Ray. I live in Nashville. My wife and I live out near Vanderbilt. I've been coming to these retreats now. I'm not sure. I've tried to figure out how many years. I'm not really sure. But it's down where we used to meet in West Tennessee. I want to introduce my neighbor here, Brent Corsi. Brent, would you tell him about yourself?
My name is Brent Corsi. I live also very near Richard. He's my neighbor. They're in Nashville. I have two boys, Jackson and Willie, 17 and 19, and my wife, Barbara.
Actually, my first retreat, one of the first guys I met was Bud Harmon. I don't think Bud's here tonight, but I want to send a message that I thank Bud for all the days that he's spent his time studying with me and Mark, and sometimes I'd get to stay with both of them, and sometimes only one of them could make it, but over the years, I want to thank both those men for just putting the hours of their life into me, and I thank you so much. In 1991, I was spiritually empty, and I had come to realize that I was a victim, and I thought I was a victim of the world at the time, and I was actually a victim of sin, and I had come to realize that. And I woke one night, I was by myself traveling, and I realized that the world had me, and I got up and got down on my hands and knees. And first time I'd ever prayed like that in my life, I got down and I asked the Lord to forgive me, to clean me up, and to help me. So I was honest in that. I'm in it. And it was one of those times in life where there wasn't any games. I sincerely asked the Lord to help me. And that night, He heard me. And my life started changing. And the next day, I understood things that I had not understood before. I understood what grace meant. And I had heard about grace, but I didn't know what that was. But I understood the next day that the Lord had cleaned me up and I hadn't done anything to deserve it. So it was a verse that I didn't know at the time. I think Bud Harmon gave it to me later, but Daniel 10:12. Do not be afraid, Daniel. And I sometimes use the word Richard. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. And that night, my words were heard. And the Lord was faithful to this verse, even though I hadn't heard it at the time. But I heard it later, and I could recognize what had happened. And He came in response to that request that I had that night. And from that time on, my life started changing. And one thing about it, I was serious in following Him. There was a lot of work to be done, but I didn't intend to turn back. It eventually led to me meeting Mark Stevens one morning and one of his sons. And I came to a retreat and met Bud. And I was searching. I'd been asking God to help me. And so after that retreat, Mark asked me if I would like to study. And I didn't know exactly what that meant. But I'd met men that had different things going on in their life than I had seen before. And there was something special about it. And so we studied. And something I'll admit that it's kind of foolish to look at it now. But I thought before we met the first time, I thought, well, now I grew up going to church. I'd been trying to read the Bible and do different things. And I thought, what's He going to tell me that I haven't already heard? And that was really a foolish thought. And after about 20 minutes, I realized that I didn't know very much about the Bible and I didn't have the relationship with Christ that He had. And it was very obvious. And it was a real awakening. It was something different. So I prayed to God as we studied. I'd prayed the Lord would open my eyes to His truth, and we studied for about 3 years. And at that, as my recollection of time, in about 3 years, I could tell my life had changed. There were different things. I had peace that I didn't have before. The Lord had opened my eyes through these men to things that had changed me. And I saw that it changed the relationship with my wife. It changed the relationship with my children. It changed the relationship with people at work. I had received what these men had taught me over 3 years. So I started praying that God would give me some men to study with. And I prayed for 2 years and nothing happened. And this is one of the men I prayed for. I used to walk in the neighborhood, and Brent and I, he'd be out there playing sports with his boys, and we'd stop at the mailbox and talk, and I'd prayed that God would give me some men to study with, and I thought, well, I guess God's not going to use me for this. Well, what was actually going on is I wasn't ready. But when I got ready, he put three men in my life to study with, and Brent was the first one. Brent, going back and thinking about that, how did we get started?
Like you said, he would walk his dog Loxley, who he still loves to this day, but Loxley's gone. And he would pass, and Brent, let's get together and let's go and let's meet and pray. And he'd hand me books, and you know, the skit is perfect. It was totally just like that. And I appreciate it, and I'd move him along, and then he'd come back, and he would walk by again. And just out of respect, finally, I said, okay, I'll meet with you. And so we started meeting at McDonald's, and I have to refer back to the skit. I mean, it was just like that. I was like, I just couldn't really figure out which way he was going, but after about two meetings, I don't know, just meeting, my religion now stems from meeting with Richard. And my church, which I go to every Sunday, my sons play music there, it's a Catholic church, and I love it, but Christ for me is every Thursday morning at my office. Who this man has come by for 9 years, and I can't believe I'm saying 9 years. That was how long ago that was. My boys were 8 and 10, and had he not come by that mailbox and continued to tell me, let's meet, my boys would not know Christ like they know now. And so I was in a situation. I had been in the restaurant business, and I was, not a bad guy, and I was going to church and trying to do all the things that you do and raising kids and fussing with my wife. And it was just a circle. I felt literally, I was 40 years old, and I just felt like it was just, there was nothing new coming into my life. But after meeting with Richard about 3 weeks, it all changed, We were at the mailbox, and I had just started in a new business and gotten out of the restaurant business, and there was a huge job that I needed to tear down a large brick structure. I mean, 5 stories. And I had never even tried anything like that, but it was the products that I needed to run my business. And I looked at that building, and the clouds went by, and I thought it was falling because it was coming down. I mean, it was disassembling itself over the years. And I was scared to death, but I knew I had to do it. And Richard told me that day at the mailbox, he said, the Lord does not want you to fear. So that's where we started.
I'd been studying, and interesting, the day we were talking, I'd been studying about fear. I've been on some different verses, but one of the verses that I'd been looking at, talking about fear, and when Brent was telling me about he was fearful of this job, we prayed about that together. And I think what happened is that Brent felt a peace, and he wasn't afraid of this project anymore. And I prayed about Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so we were studying together, and we were praying together, and we were meeting at McDonald's. And we started meeting at 6:30.
Right.
And after we met a few weeks, Brent said, it would be good if maybe we could meet twice a week.
I was a 2 a week guy.
And so we were meeting at McDonald's at 6:30 twice a week. And, in the wintertime, it's dark, and we're up and we're down there having our coffee, and we're there by the park studying the Bible. And One morning, Brent, we were sitting there studying, and what happened? This fellow across the room.
A homeless, I say homeless, he looked to be homeless, came across from the room and came and sat down right beside us. And he was talking about his mother and how disappointed she was in him. And he saw that we had the Bible. And he started, and he mentioned Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that's the only verse I knew at that point. And I found that verse because it's just perfect. I still to this day, it's the most perfect, perfect verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge Him. And He will set your path straight. And if you think about it, for me, I mean, if I were to get in the way or start trying to do something, certainly I would mess it up. But I just needed a friend in Christ. I needed someone to relate to and someone to lean on, just as I do today. But for that guy to come across that room and say that verse, we both just felt like that was Christ.
Acknowledging. He said he was all the way across the room and he couldn't hear what we were talking about. And he came over and he quoted Brent's verse. And he said, God's put it on my heart to come over here and tell you this verse. And so I think what it did, it got our attention that, you know, we're down here meeting, but he's here with us. And so along one of those weeks, Brent, I asked you one morning, I said, Brent, where are you in your relationship with Christ?
No, you said, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
That's probably a little more
that
pointed.
Was easy. That was easy before to answer. But I knew that when I answered that question, that Christ was sitting at that table. And it was very uncomfortable. And I just knew that when I answered that I wasn't just speaking something, that I was speaking to Christ. And I made the decision to say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I made a commitment at that point that I was going to have faith and that I was going to follow Jesus Christ.
We were studying John and reading through John together. And one of the things we were over in John 15 is talking about fruit. And Brent really loved the verses on fruit. I mean, it's just one of the things that really spoke to him. And Brent, what all did you
see?
Well,
it just hit me. Actually, I had met with Bud one time, and he talked about praying for both his customer and himself when any kind of deal was going through on his real estate. And I was new in my business and always wanted to be an honest, straight-shooting kind of fella. And I just thought about that principle. If you produce good fruit, you're never going to have that guy call you on Monday morning and give you any problems. So I just have always, or try to always, go along those mottos. When the deal's done, when the money's talked, then it's my turn to produce the good fruit. And it's just been a great thing to follow. And actually, pretty easy. You know, it just something that struck a chord with me. And I think...
Well, you started really seeing helpful. You started seeing some things there with some changes as you, as a husband, that some fruit was coming. And what areas did you see this working in?
Well, I'm glad this is all men and my wife's not here, but yes... I would say that I'm a better husband, and it's made me realize really what a good wife I have and how hard she works. But I was coaching my boys, I think is where we're headed with this, and it was all about, you know, winning and doing the best I could, you know, and I thought I had all the right intentions, but it was really mostly about me, I guess, and winning those games. But as we continued on and in my journey, I calmed down about the winning and just started praying with the boys and helping them, you know, just be there for them and envisioned what I would be to them when they're 30 and I'm 80. And hoped that that would be the kind of impression I would leave on them. And this is the first year I've been back since we were in Dixon. I was there 1 year after we started studying. And this was always AAU time. And I coached kids, my sons, all the way through AAU. And now they're of an age where that's not needed. And I'll probably go back, but took a year off here. And we went down to the Nationals and won Nationals in 2 years ago at Division II. And it was strictly just backing up and letting the kids, you know, be something other than what they were, and just trying to bring them together as a team. And it was just the most lovely thing ever. It had nothing to do with me. Christ was there with us, and it was really special. So I think it helped me as a father, my kids knowing the Bible. I remember when I first got started, Willie was 8, and when he was about 10, they asked him, you know, about his dad and what his dad did. he said, my dad, he teaches me about Christ. That would have never happened had I not been introduced to the Navigators and what the Navigators through Christ have done.
Brent, from time to time, he's got a business where he has a lot of customers, and it's really a time-consuming business, and works hard and has really built it up. But sometimes you got busy and we couldn't study. And what happened when we missed some studies?
Well, there would be in the early days, there would be times that I would revert back, and you know, I would get that busy and I'm too busy thing going, and you know, inevitably, it would just be that I would start being short with my employees. I would start busting through everything like I had a tendency to do. And I could just see it unraveling. And it wouldn't take long. I mean, a couple of meetings, missing a couple of meetings, and then I was too busy the next. And, you know, I just put that aside. I could see that it was just a sure bet. It sounds, I don't know if it's what you ought to be saying, but I just felt like it was a sure bet. If I would take the time for Christ, just like you can't outgive him, you can be a giving person, he'll pay you back. If you'll take time for him, he'll take care of you. And I quit with any kind of missing meetings. I mean, there's a time or two if we're traveling. But if there's any, I just do not let work or anything get in front of our Thursday morning.
Your children are very active in sports. And sometimes, I think this is probably something a lot of other people deal with. Brent, you had a situation where your older son, who's really a terrific athlete, you had kind of a coaching situation one time that challenged the parents somewhat.
Mr. Green, I'm sure you'll be appreciative of this. My son was, my oldest son was the quarterback of the team. And like every red-blooded dad, I was the quarterback's dad. I was so proud. And just knew that he was going to capitalize on that position when he went to high school. And as a freshman, there were two quarterbacks, and then as they moved up, long story short, the offensive coordinator's son was a quarterback. And if I'd have been the offensive coordinator, you know who'd have been the quarterback? My son. Well, he thought the same way I did. So I struggled and struggled and struggled and had the numbers to prove it. But my son started taking verses from my pack as we would ride to school, because he was 15, and then when he turned 16, in the, you know, he's February baby, so I mean it was a year and a half of me taking him to school, and we would read verses every morning. And at the beginning of his junior year, where it could have really been a heated quarterback race, walked up to the coach because it was making me miserable, and I was making him miserable. And he walked up to the coach and said, "I just want to play." And so he backed off with just the wisdom, I think, of Christ. And when I saw that, I was able to, you know, he was a bigger man than his dad, and it really opened my eyes. And again, it's just the way that the verses have played a big part in my life, and my son's, who to this day carries them in his car.
Brent, you started sharing your faith with other people. You were seeing the Lord work in your life, and then from time to time you shared with a lot of different people. But one instant, were you at a ball game, a basketball game?
And again, it's all about AAU basketball. It was Willie, my youngest son's friend's mother. And she was making an excuse in the stands about how alcohol really wasn't affecting her life. And, you know, I was an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic or whatever, but it's been, you know, 25 years. But I knew that she was struggling. I mean, she was an alcoholic and trying to say everything but I could just see she was trapped. And she loved her kids, and she was just couldn't find her way out. And I talked about Galatians and, you know, fruit of the Spirit. Everything dark, if you follow darkness, you know, you're going to receive darkness. If you follow light, there's patience, goodness, peace. I had no clue that I was resonating with her. It was just a conversation. And 6 months later, a friend, it's a Brentwood mom, a friend of mine said, "This woman was at a party and just proclaiming how you changed her life." I said, "What are you talking about?" A year went by, and I saw her out in public, and she talked about, "I hadn't drank a drop, and the reason why is because of this guy's testimony." And it was, I guess the point we're trying to make is that God uses you in every different way. It was just shocking. Such an incidental conversation. I mean, I was passionate because we had just been studying that, but it took hold. And to this day, she's a great tennis player, and she's gone on to play in big tennis matches and just really, really changed her life. Christ used me to change her life.
Brent, as you were building your business, you were looking to find a location. You needed some space for a shop and different things, and you were looking all over. We went and looked at some properties, and we prayed about God guiding you to a property. And how did you end up finding your business location?
Well, we had looked at properties in South Nashville area, and it was just unbelievable the kind of money they would ask just for, you know, a small, well, this is, you know, size of a building I was looking for, and on a little bit of property. There was $1.3 million and, you know, $1.5 million, and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And so I found a piece of property that had an EPA number on it, which is, you know, you got to get that cleared, and I couldn't get that cleared. And I was trying to buy that property for $265,000. Really found a good deal, a great, great deal, something I could get my arms around. Couldn't get that number erased. Couldn't get that number erased. Took Richard over. We prayed over it. I was delivering wood to my current property, the neighbor of my current property where I do business. And I could see that this small business, very small, all it was is one little building sitting on this 2.5 acre lot on 4th Avenue in Nashville, was shutting down. It was a little propane business. And I asked the guys I was delivering the lumber to, I said, "We need a property. Would they sell it?" "No, we've tried. They're not going to sell it." Well, I was desperate. So as soon as I delivered that wood, I walked around the fence, walked in and talked to the guy. And he said, "Yeah, I don't know. They're shutting it down." They're privately owned in Bloomington, Indiana. I guess this is an AAU story, isn't it? So we were going to play a tournament in Bloomington, Indiana that weekend. I called them at Friday afternoon and closed with them Saturday morning, the family, for $100,000 on 2.5 acres in the middle of Nashville. And it's not me. I had nothing to do with it. It was just such a coincidence. It couldn't be anything, but just it was Christ.
Well, then you had a layout for your building, so you started to build on the property, and it had some different easements going through it. And how did that work out for you?
There was a sewer. This is an older part of the city, and the sewer is 150 years old, made out of brick. And they said, well, you can build your 10,000 square foot building, but if this fails, this sewer line, I'm going to tear your building down and repair it. And I'm not, so I said, oh, can't do that. And I had spent all the money on getting it drawn up and needed to get it going. But after 3 months of dealing with the water department, my architect came back to me and said, you know what? I saw this work. And we separated the buildings, had the shop in the middle and these two outbuildings, and can handle so much more wood. It's just a lumber yard, you know. Probably should have known, but I didn't. But I got slowed down again, and that property works perfectly for what I'm trying to do.
In other words, the restrictions forced you to change your whole plan.
Exactly.
And you've told me lots of times that this is just perfectly designed for my business. Of course, you didn't know it was before they designed it that way. But it's like... Brent, last year, Jackson was a senior at high school, and he made great grades and great athlete and so forth. But y'all were looking for a school. And I've listened to Mark about he's lots of times we've sat and discussed, and he's going to different campuses with his children. And so you were doing some of that last year.
2 years ago, we were. He was at the Ivy League level of Division I. That was as high as he could go. So we were going around the Ivy Leagues, and we had gone to Penn University, and they had really expressed an interest in him. And as soon as he got there, this was about our third camp, and we just knew that this was our camp. And he was there 15 minutes and rolled his ankle, and it swelled up just huge. And so it looked like a busted weekend. And he wrapped that thing up, and I went over there and was talking to him. He looked at me and said, Dad, Lord's in charge of this. This guy's, you know, 16 years old, junior in high school, going off to college, but said those words to me, and I'm telling you, it was within 15 minutes, he was wrapped up, had gone through a trainer, had ice on it, came back out, and they had them all picked up, and he put 38 on them in that first game. And I just, you know, there's just no way from that injury that he could have recovered that quickly. Again, I think it was Christ intervening.
You're saying he scored 38 points?
He scored 38 points in that game, and his ankle was that big 15 minutes before.
So as this process went along, and we prayed about guiding Jackson to the right school, he prayed about it, and they prayed as a family. And so eventually he selected Washington Lee, right?
Correct.
And y'all were up there for the parents' day. What went on?
Well, we had prayed about the school that he would go to, as you would. And we went, and his roommate, he was in an athletic squadron or dorms, and he got suited with a track guy. And his father, he's from Chicago, and he was a lawyer from Chicago. And after we had set their beds up and met the parents met, out in the hallway, the soccer boy's father, Parker's father, was outside with tears streaming down his cheeks and had a Bible that he was giving Parker that he had never seen. And in that Bible, there was work done on each back and front page, verses that he was going to have, that every situation Parker could be facing, he could refer to and reveal back to the pages. It was really incredible, the amount of work. And I just thought, what a great place to leave this guy.
Well, we'd prayed specifically a number of mornings when Brent and I were studying and they were going to their different schools. We had prayed that God would give Jackson the right people in his life, that the people that he got to know in college would be the right people. So here they go to Washington Lee, and I think it's humorous. I don't know how it hit some of y'all, but to me it's almost humorous to say, well, his roommate ends up being just this godly young man, and his dad is standing there giving him a Bible, and he's a lawyer from Chicago. I mean, I just thought, well, that's kind of a pointed point. So Brent, your younger son, what was he like as he was growing up? His name is Willie, and
then there's Willie. Willie is sweetest, most personable guy you've ever seen. He grew up, and he just, I don't know, there's something about the women and Willie, and just, I mean, they just love him, and people love him, and he's just always been almost the opposite of how Jackson had to work. Everything just came really easy to Willie, and he was, you know, going to follow Jackson's footsteps as far as, you know, he was the only sophomore to make the team. Well, last summer, Willie started acting out, and he used marijuana, and I know that he had premarital sex and tried alcohol. And it was just, for the perfect parents that we are, that where did that come from? I'm the perfect dad. And there is a difference between Jackson and Willie in that their spirituality and their, you know, the conscience. And so I think that maybe Willie was overlooked a little. Maybe I did, you know, not watch him as closely as I was watching my first son. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud now. It's not really on the script. But we eventually, this was last summer that he struggled so much. And me, I mentioned that I had many problems and was Willie when I was growing up. And so how did that slip me? But it did. You know, I always thought I'd be the guy, you won't get that by me. Well, it got by me. And so when we figured it out, we made, our ideas maybe were to send him to a boarding school. And all of our friends were like, oh, Willie will be fine. Well, I met with Mark and Richard, and honestly, the only person that said, I think you're doing the right thing, was Mark Stevens. And he gave me some scriptures. Of course, he would take time and, you know, give me an outline and give me some verses. And I took those home, and we started using those at our breakfast table. My wife is a cradle Catholic, and no one tells a cradle Catholic how to study the Bible. You just don't. The only person in a Catholic's life that's going to talk about Christ is going to be a priest, and I'm not a priest. So it was never real easy to broach, you know, studying the Bible with my wife openly. But through this process and through Mark's notes at the table, she'd do anything for her kids, even study the Bible with me in front of them. And so that started that, which has been going on for the last 3 months. And Willie has turned the corner. He has started the lights back in his eyes. And I mean, he's just a young guy that's made some bad decisions. But through Christ, I think we're going to have gotten them in time, and hopefully everything's looking better.
Well, so we're going through all this process. We're studying verses, and we're praying over verses, and we're looking for God's promises. And when we come up with struggles, we're asking for His help. And, you know, Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So this meditating on the Word of God that's going on in Brent's house, he had his Bible that he took home that Barbara was reading out of it and seeing all these verses that Brent had underlined and so forth. And so he has continued to seek the Lord in guidance, his favorite verse about in Proverbs. And so we've just, as Brent and I have studied over the last few years, it's been a wonderful thing for me. He's a friend. He's a brother in Christ. He's somebody that is a great part of my life. And we've seen the Lord meet with us, and we've seen the truth of His Word. And it's just a wonderful thing to find out we're not alone, that He is with us, that we see answers. We see the power of His Word in our life. We see that when we have challenges and things that come against us, that if we'll just go to Him and be faithful, we'll see His answer. And Brent, what would you say here to close for us tonight?
Well, again, I don't know if you're ever going to find a Richard Ray, but Christ will deliver someone for you to study with. And I don't know why it's so different one-on-one. I can't tell you what that is, but I just know on Thursday morning, He and I and Christ are studying the Bible. And, you know, when I'm in church, I'm trying to, but I get a little bit, my mind, I don't know, it's just kind of out of habit, I guess. But if you can find someone that you can meet with, I urge you to get on a regime and meet with someone and go over the Bible. It will change your life. Thank you.